we don't want to be here today. We had great plans, great hopes. We had a future with Linda. But in your providence, you set a date and you took her into glory. So we are here, trying to put some sense of understanding to life and death. I pray, Father, that in the next hour or so, through the songs we sing, the prayers we offer, the scripture we hear, that you might have an opportunity to speak that truth to us. And let us leave here certainly not fully understanding, but maybe more assured of what we believe or encouraged in what we need to come to believe. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I thought about sharing a passage from the book of Lamentation, which talks about the struggles in life. But then I remembered the constant conversations the family had. Linda was about family, holding them together as much and as long as possible. And a day is promised for those who believe, as Linda did, that when we go to heaven, God has offered and promised He will serve us. And there's a passage in Isaiah 25 talks about a banquet, that we will be brought to the wedding feast of the Lamb that was slain for us. Tradition has it for a Jewish person, they loved the marrow of a sheep's or a goat's bone. They would cut the ends off it and suck it out. And the promise is that on this banquet table, you will have before you that which brought you the greatest delight. God will not keep any of those things He created for our good away from us. Listen to these words. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all people, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. On this mountain, He will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove His people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We will trust in Him. He saved us. This is the Lord. We trust in Him. Let us rejoice and be glad in His salvation. There's a chair to the left of Linda and to the right and all the way around for those who want to be at that table with her. Linda Faye Heasley. Linda was born to Alvin and Violet Reed in Bismarck, North Dakota. I bet she was cold. I spent 12 years out there, I know. They later moved to Oregon. She got wet. She graduated from Hillsboro High School in May of 1960. In June of that same year, she married her high school sweetheart, Bill Heasley. Excuse me? They got it wrong. My apologies. I just got what they gave me. Bill Brown. All right, my apologies. They had three children, though, Dale, Lynette, and Kevin, who were the love of her life. They blessed her with great joy, gray hair, and wrinkles, which would be surpassed only by her wonderful grandchildren, Dennis, Leanna, and Jessica, who added more love, gray hair, and deepened the wrinkles. She found herself ready for retirement and was excited to enjoy her hobbies when her great-grandchildren, McKenna, Madison, and Dennis Jr., DJ, were born. She discovered the fountain of youth. Linda was a humble woman who never drew attention to herself. She had a quiet strength, which, if asked, she would tell you came from the Lord. She attended church at Rose of Sharon, later renamed Greater Grace Church, where she taught Sunday school for several years. Linda was a hard-working woman her entire life. She retired from Fred Meyer's after 32 years of employment. She also worked part-time at the Rose Garden. Linda loved to have fun. She enjoyed camping, cutting wood with her brother, Alvin, tending the flowers in front of her house, and going to the casino. However, her greatest love was the beach at Lincoln City, where she enjoyed the many shops, the long quiet walks on the beach, connecting her with her Savior. She was preceded in death by her parents, Violet and Alvin Reed, her aunt, Helen Moan, and her uncles, Bud, Ronnie, Dale, and Larry. She will be greatly missed. Amen to that. Well, now we'd like to set a little time aside for you to share with the family. And I know if we set a mic up here, nobody would come up. I'm the only one that likes to speak up front. But I'd love to bring you the mic. If you got a memory or a word of encouragement you'd like to share with the family now, we'd love to give you this opportunity to share with everybody, or even up here.
I spent my whole life with Linda, and I think back of all when we grew up, and I was a younger brother, so for the first 20 years, I think I was more of a nuisance than anything else to her. I remember one time when I was about 6 and Linda was about 9, our neighbor girl, which was really big, and I got in an argument, so Linda decided she was going to stick up for me. So she asked me to hold her glasses, and I knew I was afraid to hold her glasses because I knew that once this big girl finished with Linda, she'd come after me. So, but anyway, she was a wonderful sister. We got to be better friends as we got older, and she became one of my best friends. And thank you for your support and your prayers.
Who else would like to share? Don't have to top it.
My name is Zoe, and Linda and I taught Sunday school together for several years. We taught the little ones, and we were challenged to take them out into the community and to visit different places. So we went. There's a nursing home fairly close, and we made some crafts and we delivered and went, and we thought, oh, this was a really great experience. And some of the people there were very cognizant and aware of what was going on, and they said, oh, please come back. We really enjoyed you. So Linda and I thought, oh, we are definitely going to do this again. And we did. We went on different doors, and we were really surprised when someone opened the door and had no clothes on. And the look on Linda's face was, oh my, oh my, oh my. And we shut the door. But that was just, I will never forget the look on her face and the panic in both of us. It was just priceless. And we looked at each other and thought, we will not be doing this anymore.
Who else?
Stand.
That's okay.
I'm Linda's sister-in-law, Siska. Linda was always, like the pastor said, humble. She was never, I don't remember her ever bragging or gossiping, but I always remember her arms were open to anyone who came to her home. No matter how ill-advised some of us thought, she always took them in and gave them as much as she possibly could. I told her before she died, I wish I was more like her, but she's a lot stronger than I am. So I always found that wonderful.
Thank you.
When I was younger, I had some rough times, and I've had rough times now. And each time I went to her for it. And I told her, I was like, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it. But no matter what happened, she was the only person that every time I came to her, like questioning myself, she always told me, you can do anything you set your mind to. I know you. I'm proud of you. And that's something I'll always remember from her.
Jeff.
Well, I'd only had a chance to know Linda for 2 or 3 years, I think. And the one thing I really loved more than anything about her was her strength. She just had this quiet strength, and no matter what was going on in her life, she would just smile and nod, and it just seemed like nothing could get over her or past her. And she really inspired me a lot, especially when she and Lynette would come to the Bible studies and stuff and just get a chance to talk to her. But that's the one thing I'm going to miss about her. It's the one thing I'm really going to remember about her, is that wonderful strength that she had and just what a great person she was.
I remember Linda from so many years ago when she worked at Fred Meyer. Of course, I always went to the Gresham Fred Meyer where she worked. And for some reason, we would always see each other. And, you know, she'd be working the same time I came or whatever. So we had so many good conversations from way back. And then, of course, we met in the chemo room a few times lately. And we still had a good chance to talk. And the thing about Linda was that she was so faithful. I just can't even imagine her going through the things that she went through lately, more than me, that's for sure. And here she would be at church, just amazed me. And I just think that she is just one of the loveliest people that I know.
Thank you, Sherry. Anyone else? You guys are going to give me a workout.
Oh my gosh, I've known Linda for a lot of years. We worked at Fred Meyer's together. I came over to Gresham Fred Meyer's as a manager in training, and she was my support girl. She helped me out so much, and I learned to be, well, her and I became really good friends, and we'd start going out to lunch together. And I got to know all her kids, her grandkids, and I got to know all, even though the kids don't know me, I know you. And she knows my kids as well. And we just did a lot of things together. And one of the things I can tell you that was really great about Linda, she was always there for me. Oh my gosh, it didn't matter what, when. And during my first marriage, I was having a lot of difficult times. And I called her up one day, and I was telling her, I don't know what to do. She says, Karen, come live with me. I will find room in my house for you. I go, sure you will. You've got everybody living there. You can't find room for me. She says, Karen, you come. We will find room. So Linda was everything to me. She was just the best friend you could ever have.
Thank you.
Regarding me not holding Linda's glasses, Linda was never one to hold a grudge. 2 weeks ago, she forgave me for not holding her glasses.
That she did. All right, anyone else? All right, well, I'm going to share with you. In a congregation I serve, most of the time, I could never speak well enough of the person who I'm doing the service for. I knew Linda when I was here doing my undergrad work, before I headed off to seminary, and of course coming back. But you know her so much more. But my role is different. My role is to give God the last word. And so I want to start with just a music video and then share with you. about a month and a half or so ago, I was notified by Lynette and then by Linda that Linda chose to discontinue the treatments. In doing that, she knew that time would be now drawn short for her. The treatments really quit working for her, getting harder to live through. I would venture to say, having the private conversations I did, she took more along the way for her family to be here as long and as she could, and to be the part of the strength that held you together. When we left the doctor's office that day, as a family gathered to get an idea of what it was going to be like, we kind of were left with the perspective it was going to take about 2 months. It lasted about 3 weeks. Cancer is an ugly thing. And it could be anywhere, and it can be on anyone. I read an article once that says everyone, if they chose or if they had the opportunity to live long enough, would contract cancer. It's in each of us. Most of us just, it doesn't manifest itself to the point where it takes us. A little over a week before the night came, Linda quit responding. So Lynette texted me, and I came over. We sat vigil for the night, but she held on. And then for about a week, she continued to just hang on. There's just something within us. We want to live. And then I received the notification that she had passed, and I again came over that evening. Shortly after I got there, I went to the back room where she was, and Dale was with her, was with his mom. And he says, I'll leave you with her. So he went out and shut the door. And I sat beside Linda, and I opened up the scriptures, and I read Psalm 116 to her. Psalm 116 is written by a man who is surrounded by death. It's coming soon for him. And it's his struggle and his release in letting God be God and finding salvation in that. I ask you this question first for the family, but for all of us when these tragedies come. When God has his way, is it well? Is it okay with your soul? This word soul comes from the Greek psyche. So if that word's better for you, is when tragedies and life happens, is it well with your psyche? Can you deal with it? And the reason I ask that, and I'll focus on it when we get there, it's verse 16 that's hard to hear for some of us. We'll start with verse 1. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my plea for mercy. Do you know the difference between grace and mercy? Grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. Mercy is God withholding from you what you do deserve from his hand. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. That was in Linda's life. From the moment she got the diagnosis to the last time I spoke with her, she called on his name. She trusted him for whatever was coming. Listen to this. The snares of death encompass me. The pangs of Sheol. Sheol is the Jewish concept of the grave. The pangs of Sheol lay hold of me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. This isn't take me out of the tragedy I'm in. It's deliver me from it. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. Catch that. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. That's what we've lost, most of us, as we grew up. The simple. We gathered here about 3 weeks ago for another death in our church. Yet this was a different type of a tragedy. She was killed in a car wreck coming over to her retreat. With Linda, we knew it was coming. We just didn't know when. With Roberta, she was gone. Four daughters had to share with their children, the grandchildren. And the grandchildren were like this, at least two of them. Oh, she's home with Jesus. What? You're not going to get to see Grandma anymore. There's no more going over there. There's no more cookies and all of that. Oh, she went home with Jesus. Oh, they felt it. But they also understood something that we, when we grow up, lose. We grow up and we begin to think and question and challenge. And we wonder about this God. It's kind of like you as a parent raising a teenager. They listen to you all the time, right? I wonder if God feels the same way when we've left our childhood somewhere along the way. Do you remember the first question Satan asked in the garden? Did God really say? And I'm reading scripture here, and some of you would probably ask the same question. Really? That's scripture? Can you trust that it was written by men? Did God really say? I'll tell you what, Linda absolutely, wholeheartedly believed it. Yes, he did say. And that's why he says, the Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return my soul to your rest. And the Lord has dealt bountiful with me. Do you know what the word death means, both in the Hebrew and Greek? It means to separate. That's what it means. Death is to separate. Separate what? The soul or the psyche, the spirit, from the body. We laid Linda's body to rest a week ago Tuesday. But her spirit's gone. Ecclesiastes says that the moment that the body returns to the dust, the spirit returns to the Father, there to await judgment. Linda's soul has already been judged in Christ. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord, where? In the land of the living. I believed, even when I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. Linda didn't like what was going on in her life, but she never complained that I heard. Other than maybe just an upset stomach or something. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation. I will call on the name of the Lord. Linda shared her faith with her children and her grandchildren, even in her last days, perhaps even in her last hours. She lifted up the cup of salvation she trusted in because she had one thing that she wanted other than going home. For her children, her grandchildren, and her great-grandchildren to be with her someday. I will pay my vow to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Here's the tough one. Listen to this. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saint. We shed tears here today. As Christians, strong, close believers, I ask the question, why? Is that not the goal of salvation, to go home? I want you to think just for a minute. Just stop and think. Let's say we cured her cancer. Let's say we cure all cancer. And then we find the fountain of youth. And you will never die. You'll live forever. You'll work forever. You see, that was the curse put on humanity, is to toil the earth. Not a joyful toil. One that will do only one thing. Bring forth what? Thorns and thistles. Can you imagine living, let's say 500 years in your life? All right, change jobs. Which job would you do? You get to retire. How long is that retirement going to last you before you run out and you have to start all over again? God knew the mess we stepped into and made provision for it. The first thing he did, he says, I'll number their days now. The oldest person in the Bible was Methuselah. He lived 969 years. And the reason he lived that long is the day he was born went to the day that Noah entered the ark. And then he died in the flood. And God says, I'll number their days to 120. It's just not everybody gets to live that long. But God was merciful. He knows we cannot live in this world the way it is forever, no matter how good you think it is. It's a mess. And it has nothing to do with our political system and everything else that's going on. It's just a mess. And yet God, in his providence, gives us the ability to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And for those who will trust in him, we will what? Fear no evil. Because at the moment of our death, what happens? The body returns to the earth and the spirit returns to the Father. That's why Christ came, to make the way back. The Bible tells us that at the moment Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, they would what? Die. Did they die? Yes. Not a physical death. They died the separation. Their spirit was broken from the Father. Christ came and restored, redeemed from the curse, put it back. The Bible talks about a second death in the book of Revelation. And the second death is if you haven't allowed God to deal with the curse in your life here, there is no second chance afterwards. Linda heard it, understood it, received it. And that's her prayer for you. That's why the man who's ready to die understood that it was precious in the sight of the Lord at his death. He's going home. He realized he's only a sojourner. We're only on a journey getting through this world and this life to the next. Linda would quote these words in her own spirit. Oh Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Is it well with your soul? I'm not saying that you don't feel the loss and will miss her. But can you allow God to be God and take Linda the way he did? Because the same reality is going to happen to each of us. We will leave this world somehow, some way. I know we all want to be that person that gets to go have that long life, fall asleep, and when our eyes awaken, we're in heaven. But unfortunately, when we stepped out of the garden or were kicked out of the garden, the world was not like God intended it to be. But the Bible says even before that happened, he and the Son made a commitment. When they fall, I will go. I will take their punishment for them. And you give them my righteousness. Linda had that. Do you? Because if you do, you can walk out of here today with these words. It is well with my soul. In the taking of Linda to heaven, because the only thing that separates you and her, if you believe, is time. Is it okay with you and the life you live and the struggles you've had and the issues that have been before you and the ones yet to come? I pray it is. That's the God Linda worshiped. That's the God Linda wants you to know and to live in light of. Amen. Hear the word of God concerning death and the resurrection. Jesus says, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though they die. But whoever believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? In Romans, the Apostle Paul writes, But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who is in you. Paul also writes, For none of us live to ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? But thanks be to God. He gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because God in his almighty providence has chosen to take out of the world the soul of Linda Faye Heasley, we therefore have committed her body to the earth from which it was taken, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of our glory and of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enabled him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his body. Jesus said, Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Linda Faye Heasley, out of the dust, you were taken, unto the dust you will return, out of the dust you will rise again. Would you pray with me the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. To the family and the friends, as we close our service, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his countenance toward you and give you his peace. I pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May God bless all of you and comfort you now and in the time to come. Would you give the family an opportunity to go down the aisle and make their way? We'll invite you to come downstairs for a time of a light lunch that's down there. And then after they've made their way through, just kind of join us all downstairs. There is a memory book. If it's still not in the back, it was hopefully taken downstairs. If you haven't had a chance to sign it or put a note in there, please do. Thank you all for coming.